Need the background music. Well, I'm waiting for
Dun
my computer
dun
to do
dun
stuff.
dun dun
Dun,
dun
dun,
dun
dun,
dun 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 dun
Nah,
dun
let that
dun dun
background music.
dun dun. Well, it brings up tension, see?
Thought I had background music here.
Dun. And we're running live. So anytime you're ready, what's up?
Warp drive active.
Let me get the right window and then I'll get us going. Here we go.
Bonds and bands. Bonds and bands.
All systems go.
Bonds and bands.
Defiance.
Bonds and bands.
This rebel has a cause.
Bonds and bands.
We begin as wanderers, and we are wanderers still.
Welcome to the 18th live edition of Bombs and Bants and Wednesday Rants. As always, I'm your dedicated and humble host, John Wilder, coming to you from an undisclosed location hidden deep beneath the surface of the earth. With me, as always, is Mark.
Greetings.
And the missus.
Hopefully, fingers crossed, technical issues slightly less than last week. That's the plan, anyway. Hi.
Well, it is the plan, except the technical the circuitry may be strong, but I'm hearing the flesh is weak from both of you this week. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, no. We're communicating over here via Morse code via our coughs.
Sorry about that, Chief. That'd be the old coughing code, then, huh?
That's exactly it.
Okay. That takes it all the way back to Maxwell Smart. So tonight, as we go through this, as usual, we have three stories, but it also sounds like we have two commercials tonight.
Yeah, one was the one from last week that I ran because, okay, not to recap all that much, but Pugsley was ill last week, which is why I am ill this week. But he was having some issues and I was trying to talk to him about that and played it, and I don't know, something was wrong. Something was all screwed up.
Was that the preppersonly.com Christmas?
Yes, and you said you couldn't hear it very well.
No, but, you know, who knows?
See, that's what you said when I came back, is that it didn't sound very good, and you didn't think it sounded very good.
That would be correct, yes.
I didn't hear it because I wasn't sitting here when it was playing.
Yep, I understand.
But so, I do have something brand new this week that you actually have not even heard. So
excellent. Yeah. So we will run that between stories. The stories are in order. This one, after being married for just a little while, I'm going to put the missus going first with the story from Reason.com, which comes from the January 22, 2022 issue, which sounds like it's very much in the future. It's why is it so hard to admit when you're wrong? When it comes to political polarization, it's confirmation bias all the way down.
Now so that'll be our first. Tetas all the way down, Mr. James.
Yes, yes, indeed. That will be our first story. Our second story. Maybe with just a little touch of Schadenfreude, Mark, do you think? Beverly Hills residents are arming themselves with guns in the wake of violence. Beverly Hills, liberals, guns. Yep. It's kind of making me chortle just a little bit.
But I thought all they needed was social workers.
Well, social workers with
guns. Social workers with guns, hey.
And a girl with a job and a gun. All right.
And a house and cable.
Yes. Well, I guess we're lost in America. And of the two people who got that joke, which is actually just you and me, the missus.
I know, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Not a lot of people are into vintage Alice Cooper. But the DailyMail.com will take us all the way back to 110 years ago when a huge solar flare popped on a really cool star called EK Draconis, and the flare spotted in the distance sun is 10 times bigger than the most powerful one ever recorded from our son. So we'll talk about some of the implications of that, because, well, why not? And now my computer says it's not responding, but that's okay, because I have this. So the missus?
Yes.
Why don't you lead us into this? So have you read the article? I guess
I've read about a third of it. It was longer than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, so many words.
I know. Words.
Always explaining. Another inside joke. Very few people
picking get on me because I'm sick. It's not nice.
Well, so, I don't know that Mark has even had a chance to even crack this one open. Have you, Mark?
I was just glancing through a little bit of it. I mean, you know, I've never had to admit that I'm wrong. So, I mean, this is all new territory.
So let me just give a recap of the story so far. We're going to give book reports based on cliff notes from people who didn't bother to finish the cliff notes. Is that what we're doing tonight?
Yeah, I guess. Well, you know, and I was kind of scanning through, trying to get to the end, looking for, you know, the culmination of his thesis here. And I really just get to the end of the article here, and I don't really see one. I mean, because he opens the article. What is this guy's name anyway? I don't even know what his name is.
His name is Juan Tabello.
Oh, it's Ronald Bailey. Oh, that makes sense. Because he starts off talking about how he was always very in favor of the death penalty. I think so. And very staunch in that belief. And so he goes... Well,
for people who commit intentional murder. It's the first line.
Okay, I read it one time. And it was about 10 minutes ago. So, and I was looking for stuff I could talk about in there. And then I got to the end, and he says that the fact that it took decades for my friends and colleagues to persuade me that I was wrong about the death penalty, even the absence of strong, effective polarization, is not a good omen. Okay, that's how he ends it up.
Okay, so he said that he was wrong about wanting to kill people?
I guess, yeah.
No, it's a retroactive abortion.
See, I hold a very... unusual view on abortion, and it is this, right? I think abortion should be completely legal at any time in the child's life. Hear me out. So, if your kid pisses you off or becomes inconvenient to you, right, because this is the argument for abortion, you can just abort them, no matter how old they are. You know what? You would get a lot more Christmas cards from your children and a call on Father's Day.
You know, I abortion is not so bad. It's just that I'm not sure that women are smart enough to be able to choose.
See, you made me laugh, and then I really did have to cough.
Okay. Well, before we get ourselves into a lot of trouble, why don't you continue on? Sharing the deep knowledge you have gleaned.
The deep dive that I went into
from
this.
Skimming this article for 7 minutes and 20 seconds.
Well, I don't really feel that Mr. Bailey gave us really a deep dive on this. What he gave us was kind of this mash together of a bunch of studies.
I mean, you'd read it.
Yeah, if I'd read it.
Yeah, okay.
I read several paragraphs quite closely.
Okay,
maybe one.
I'm going to give it an unpaid commercial here,
okay.
Real quick.
Okay.
So tonight, I am sitting here at my computer, which is across from our basement control center complex. From the missus, I mean, we're around corners and whatnot.
We can't see each other.
And I am drinking from an ale horn. Now, this was a Father's Day present from the missus, and it is a horn of some animal, a very large animal, that been sealed so that it can hold liquids, presumably ale, which is exactly what is in my ale horn, is ale. And the reason I want to talk about the ale horn is because the one the missus bought for me was defective and leaked, because the last thing you want is a leaky Illhorn. But then they just replaced it and they said, hey, the one that she ordered you was a medium. Are you okay getting an extra large because we're out of mediums? And so, yeah, just want to throw that in there. And I was thinking that might give you some more time to read the article too. So,
actually, no, I was just sitting here staring at my notes. It's my life all the way through school.
Kind of zoned out. Okay.
Yeah, well, just sit here and kind of zone out for a while.
All right. Well, I'll let you.
Well, again, it's just kind of, he's taken this entire article. I mean, it was like maybe, I think you've mentioned this before with certain writers, that it was like they forgot they had a, Bailey forgot he had a deadline and went, oh God, that article's supposed to be in this month's magazine. I haven't finished it yet. So he just goes and he researches stuff and just stuffs it all together so that it kind of forms a cohesive narrative a little bit, right? It's all in order. Then he goes, I need an attention getter, and then I need a conclusion. Oh, I know, me and the death penalty. Type, 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 done, into the magazine on time.
Well, and the title's confusing too, because it's really, at least, you know, skimming through it, I mean, it really seems to be how much Democrats and Republicans hate each other now.
Right.
So, and, you know, and basically how little we know of what the other side is like, supposedly. He's got one paragraph in here I thought was sort of interesting. It was a 2015 YouGov survey. Respondents thought, and I'm assuming this is respondents from both sides of the aisle, reckon that 32% of Democrats are LGBT, 29% are atheists or agnostics, and 39% belong to unions.
Over 60% of women leftists between the ages of 18 and 30 are nuts. They've been diagnosed with a mental illness.
Yeah. Well, what's funny, so that's what the survey thought, that they were, the right figures were 6, 9, and 11%. But even that's sort of fantastic. I mean, you think of 6% LGBT when they're only 1% of the overall population. But anyway,
you know, if only 6% of Democrats are LGBT, where are the rest of them?
The rest of who?
Politically speaking, if only 6% of Democrats identify as LGBT.
Now, that's pretty much all of them.
Mm. No, 6% of Democrats are ill, not 6% of the population.
Mm-hmm.
6% of Democrats.
Right.
So, well, that's a really disproportionate representation given the population. The percentage of the population. So it means that they're really, I mean, they're obviously very concentrated within the Democratic Party. But
yeah, I thought the statistics were a little weird. But you know, on the other side of that too, right? They had that Democrats estimated that 38% of Republicans earn over $250,000 a year, 39% are over age 65, and 42% are evangelicals. And the actual numbers on that, 2%, 21%, and 34%.
How many, what was their estimate of how many of us could float and levitate under our own power? I can shoot anti-abortion rays from my own eyes. You will carry that child to term.
Well, so, and another study too, and this is a fairly recent 2021 study from University of California, Santa Barbara, said that despite the socially progressive and egalitarian outlook traditionally associated with liberalism, the most liberal Democrats actually express the greatest dehumanization of Republicans. They hate us more than we hate them.
Oh, absolutely.
The long and short of that. Yeah.
Well, but when you look at the nature of the right, the nature of the right is to go along, is to deal with life. And we want to raise our families. We want to live in peace. until you push us too far. And then the reaction occurs, and then that's when the continents burn. That's when the continents burn.
Well, I mean, you probably remember, I hope I pronounced his name right, Charles Krauthammer.
Krauthammer? Right?
Anyway.
Krauthammer?
Yeah. That had the, you know, his summary of understanding American politics was that liberals think conservatives are evil and conservatives think liberals are stupid. And, you know, I've argued that what we're seeing over the, well, probably over the last decade, but is the conservatives finally coming to the realization, or at least admitting to themselves that, you know, liberals are evil. So we're in a situation now where both sides are beginning to view each other as evil instead of just, you know, one directional as it was before.
Well, and I think all this stuff that has happened, you know, with the anti-Trump stuff, with the stuff that's happened over the past couple of years during the last election, is that we've really seen Democrats have kind of let the mask, they've taken the mask off. It didn't slip. They took it off.
Well, actually, Trump forced the mask off. And we also have a viewer on tonight. And the viewer notes, this is false. Most normal Zoomer white guys that our viewer knows vote Republican. So this is a person who knows Zoomers.
Yeah, I think we were talking about the overall spread, 18 plus. Of Democrat and Republican voters.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we were just pinpointing a select demographic there.
Okay.
Well, you know, and some of it too is the gender divide, because men are more overwhelmingly more conservative.
I thought you were going to say men are overwhelmingly more awesome.
Conservative, awesome, you know, same difference, but no, but I mean, you know, there's a big part of that. I mean, so and maybe, you know, maybe that's part of the divide too, is that we just have a, you know, a male female divide as well.
That's a possibility. The miss, did you have further down this rabbit hole that you were going to take us, since this is a rabbit hole that you've been down uniquely by yourself?
What does that mean?
Well, it means if you're not, get that commercial ready.
Oh, okay, are we ready to go to commercial?
Yeah, it's probably a good time to go to commercial.
All right, I can do that. Here we go. Sue, got any big plans for the holidays? Oh, you know me, Mary. I'll probably just hunker down the old bunker and enjoy some box wine with my dogs. Are you still wasting your time with online dating? Wasting my time is right. I keep looking for a man who's got a .44 Magnum, but all I manage to find are ones who have a snub-nosed .38. Have you tried PreppersOnly.com? PreppersOnly.com? What's that? It's the dating website for preppers, survivalists, and good old warlords-to-be. You won't find any soy latte-drinking, pop-gun-toting, 22-short rimfires there. Just real men, high-caliber men, who tote the large calibers. If you know what I mean. Sure sounds like just what I need under my Christmas tree, and I won't even have to worry about using the trap door this time. PreppersOnly.com. Future victims just don't get it. You don't have to be lonely at PreppersOnly.com.
So there we know.
There you go.
Dating after the apocalypse. Oh, and some of the people thought just hell had to freeze over. Apparently just most of the climate and 90% of the population destroyed. All right. Mark, are you ready?
Oh, yes.
All right. Tell us how you wish you were born in Beverly Hills, because I believe that the New York Post tells us that Beverly Hills residents are arming themselves after murder and violence.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is this is sort of a funny story to me, just because after years and years of trying to get rid of guns, making it more difficult for people to buy guns in California, the residents of Beverly Hills are suddenly turning around and purchasing guns. And I love the beginning to this. I'm not really good at pronouncing Yiddish names, so I hope I get this right. But the article begins, "I've always been anti-gun," said Debbie Mizrahi of Beverly Hills, "but I'm right now in the process of getting myself shooting lessons because I now understand that there may be a need for me to know how to defend myself and my family. We're living in fear." And, you know, I, unironically, she also mentions that last year, a neighbor's house or yard got firebombed during BLM protests. But even more interesting, I thought, was, you know, it isn't even just guns. For instance, they mention a group that's led by a Vera Markowitz, and I briefly Googled her, and she apparently is in charge of almost every liberal cause in LA, it looked like. But she has created an organization basically that has created these a block by block super you know well how do I say it anyway it's a, it, they've split the Beverly Hills into 9 city zones, and they basically have these self-defense teams. I guess they're a super neighborhood watch or something. They're calling them emergency preparedness committees, and the formal title is "Just in Case Beverly Hills." And it's funny. It's started by this Markowitz, who the article describes as a former 1960s radical who is a member of the New Left Students for a Democratic Society before moving to Beverly Hills. You know, and yes. I'm always glad to see these socialists, you know, do well and move into the wealthy neighborhoods. But, you know, again, ironically, I mean, you know darn well that this Markowitz is probably spitting mad every time some anti-gun bill gets shot down in Congress. And yet now she is on the forefront of bringing back vigilante justice in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I know it's one of these crimes that was committed was two armed robbers invaded a holiday party at a house in the Pacific Palisades and took a watch, jewelry, and phones from the guests. So that's not exactly the kind of thing that happens around our neck of the woods, is it, Mrs.?
Yeah, and some of it's sort of funny. They have an unnamed entertainment writer and her retired business executive husband organized neighbors to hire private security, but ta-da, they were too late. Everyone else had already hired them.
Yes, indeed. So the Los Angeles District Attorney, George Gascon, has been criticized for his lax handling of criminals. I wonder, do you think he might have been elected using Soros funds?
Inconceivable!
Yeah, of course not. this to me is just hilarious. I, you know, because it just shows sort of this liberal attitude of, well, as long as it doesn't affect me, it's okay to trample on everybody else's rights. But holy crap, you know, now suddenly I'm at the risk, and you know, we've got a reverse direction 180 degrees. Again, so that retired business executive, unnamed one, Mm-hmm. They quote as saying, a lot of people are mad about it, meaning having to hire private security, because people moved here in part because of the police, and we're paying a lot of money in taxes to be in Beverly Hills.
Hmm.
I know. I shouldn't gloat or feel anything, you know, like that on there, but oh, Lord forgive me, but I do.
Well, it sounds like that the old truism that Beverly Hills 90210, Cleveland Browns 3 doesn't work anymore. It sounds like Beverly Hills has kind of dropped a notch or two.
Well, yeah, I mean, this, I'm sure it's not this bad, but I mean, seriously, this article and some of the other articles on the crime down in Los Angeles actually, to be honest, reminds me of the fictional Detroit and the RoboCop series.
Well, if you look at these are the statistics from the article. More than 1,800 people have been shot in LA in 2021, up from 1,500 in 2020. I mean, those are still enormous numbers, right? But homicides are up nearly 50% from 161 to 263. So it sounds like their aim's getting better too.
Well, they had some time off. They had some time to head out to the range and do a little practice.
Well, I have to say, you know, one of it may just be the an increase in the number of bullets that they're spraying. Because one thing I've really noticed, especially over the last few months, is more and more articles or videos that I've seen on news stories where criminals are using full auto weapons. So,
yep, I've seen that as well. But here, though, this is a different thing. This is again sent from the same New York Post article. She mentions a robbery on November 30th at Hancock Park, a Tony neighborhood south of Hollywood, when two men robbed a woman with a baby. I don't know. I mean, it must have been an ugly baby if it was that offensive that, you know, you could rob a woman with it. And it sounds like the Chinese are there.
Welcome
too.
To Demolition Ranch. Today, we're going to find out, will a boyfriend stop a 50 cal? Wait, what?
but even more so, I mean these people are taking their taking the justice in their own hands. And here's a quote: some are carrying around bats with them, and I guess that must be the Chinese part of Beverly Hills. But
well, and this was sort of interesting. There's a they quote quite a bit from Bright Eddie, who heads up a private security company called Covered Six Security Forces. Mm-hmm. But you know, one of the things I mentioned is the company offers a riot suppression squad, and this Eddie guy says, we can field a team of officers that have bullet resistant helmets, riot shields, gas masks, and all the things that are needed to run skirmish lines. Oh my gosh, this is what liberal utopia looks like.
Yeah, well, you know, this looks almost exactly like, I hate to say it, Demolition Man. I don't know if you remember that. Yeah, you remember that.
That's
Sylvester Stallone. And it sounds like somebody's woken up Wesley Snipes.
Oh, it's I don't know. To me, like I said, there is a certain amount of karma, I think, running around here. But, you know, unfortunately, it's this type of lawlessness that I think is eventually going to start steamrolling or potentially could steamroll and take us into another, a lot of civil unrest.
Well, as long as it doesn't take us into another dimension, which I believe the missus has a commercial about.
Oh, I do. Would you like that?
Well, I think we probably ought to.
Okay.
Our audience has been waiting.
With bated breath, here we go. It's Christmas time, and you know what that means. Time for the woman in your life to switch on the Hallmark Channel for yet another movie about the plucky big city executive who moves to a small town in Vermont and falls in love with the small town sheriff, just in time for both of them to learn the true meaning of Christmas. Aww. But this year, there's a little something in it for you on the all-new Hallman Channel, the holiday channel with heartwarming holiday movies for men. On the Hallman Channel, you'll enjoy holiday-themed movies like this one.
Get to the chopper.
This is Sparta!
It's time to kick ass and chew bubble gum. I'm all out of gum.
Hey, terrorists, terrorize this. The name of the movie doesn't really matter. You know you want to watch it. The Hallman Channel. Look for it in your on-screen guide. Are you guys still there? Did you go to see if you can find that? Were you looking for that channel?
Actually, that's what I watch every Tuesday night when I'm up blogging. That's it. That's the channel. Oh, I like it very much. That is the Hallman Channel. And where did you get that idea?
Because I was listening to another parody commercial about Hallmark movies, and I was like, you know, women, we get to, you know, just roll around and soak that up at the holiday season. What do guys get? That one time when you get to watch Die Hard?
It's a Christmas movie. Die Hard.
Yeah, it is. So why not have your own holiday channel? Right?
Well, and why can't Zulu be a Christmas movie, right?
I agree.
Okay. Well, I'm with you. So Christmas Eve, we'll watch Zulu and Life of Brian. And okay. All right. Up with the last story is me. My story is from dailymail.co.uk. Oh, UK. A huge solar flare has been spotted on a distant star. And it's 10 times bigger than the most. Didn't say it was Michael Jackson. A huge solar flare spot on a distant star is 100 times bigger than the most powerful one ever recorded. And I said 100 times, but I need to go back and verify that I'm using the right numbers of zeros there.
10 times.
Giggity. 10 times. Yeah, well, does it matter really? Because the star is EK Draconis, which number one is way cooler name than the sun.
Yeah!
And because
science, bitch!
Yes, because can you imagine getting up every morning saying, oh my God, Draconis is so hot outside. That's so much better than, well, it's not fun than giggity, but EK Draconis.
It just depends on how you say it.
Okay. And so it's EK Draconis. So I'm sure it's Epsilon Kappa Draconis, which is 111 light years from the Earth, which, let's be honest, means nothing to you. It means nothing to you. It doesn't matter. 111 light years might as well be 1 or 1,000. It's not like we can drive there. It's not like we can even conceive of the numbers that big.
Inconceivable!
It's 110 light years away. So whatever happened there happened 111 years ago. So what happened there? Well, it was a huge solar storm, and it was so big that it ejected a tremendous amount of mass. Okay. You're really taking your job seriously tonight.
I am.
That's good. You're doing good. So the biggest one on record, kind of, and we can talk back and forth. The one most documented large one we have on record is the Carrington effect, which sounds like some sort of person who would have a house in Beverly Hills and they would be arming themselves to the teeth with MP4s and fragmentation grenades. But really, it was an amateur British astronomer named Carrington, which now makes sense. And it happened in 1859, which is my second favorite year. And I can't giggity why. But if it happened, well, that's why. But if it happened today, it would cause the entire electrical grid to go down and prevent many Pokemon Go games. And that's important because Pokemon Go. Well, anyway,
Aurora's ain't nobody got time for that.
Auroras are seen as far south as the Caribbean, and you could read a newspaper by the glow at night in the Northeast. Electrified fence wires. I mean, if there's a barbed wire fence, you grab it. Chances are you get a big shock. It destroyed telegraph lines. But if the wire managed to stay intact, people could send telegrams without power. They could do their beep, 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 without any power. And the reason is it acts like an electromagnetic pulse. It sent a huge flux of electromagnetic energy through the Earth, activated the magnetic field. And, you know, it was a very significant event. What the story is heading towards is the sun is probably a lot more active than we know. And because it's more active than we know, that poses an existential risk for civilization. And Mark, I know you've got a bunch on this one. So why don't you continue on?
Okay. Well, do you want me to go over some of the flares? I mean, what we know that there's been other massive flares that are at least as big as the Carrington event, maybe more, even stronger.
And that's within the last 200 years.
2000, yeah, 2000. Is that what you said?
And that's within the last 200 years. Oh, we think there are flares
Yeah, the Carrington was that was about 150 years ago.
And there were flares in the 1870s and the 1920s, which might have been as large or larger than the Carrington event.
Correct. And then there was one that was only, let's see if I can find that. There was one that was about, I'm trying to find the date. I think it was like 2012. There was one that.
Yes, that was 2012. There was one,
there was an event from the sun that if it had been aimed at the Earth, it probably would have been just as devastating as the Carrington event.
Now, I want to note here that these solar flares are not dangerous in and of themselves. If they would have happened, you know, when Julius Caesar had discovered that the Ides of March was a really bad day to go to work and he should have called in sick that day, none of the Romans would have noticed it. If it would have happened when the Egyptians were building the pyramids, nobody would have noticed. If it would have happened during the Black Plague, no one would have noticed. The reason is because these solar flares are dangerous really only to technological civilizations that are using large amounts of electrical equipment. They don't affect, they do affect temperature, and we can get into that maybe in some future podcast. But for the most part, you wouldn't know that these things had even happened.
Yeah. One of the major effects they can get powerful enough to strip off ozone and other parts of the atmosphere. But see, this is one of the scary things is that, you know, they talk about this solar flare and from this, this extra solar one that was 10 times, as powerful as I assume the Carrington event. But there was one that actually struck the Earth in 775 AD.
Well, 1770. So, well, no, go with 1775 because that's funnier. Because then we can talk about Benjamin Franklin and how much he hated John Adams.
The 775 AD one actually is believed to be 10 to 20 times more powerful than the Carrington event. there were the other events that occurred were in 994 AD, 660 BC, 5259 BC, and I guess a particularly large one in approximately 7000 BC.
Was that you, the missus?
Of course it is.
Okay. So you have a squeaky toy.
But yeah, so I mean, you know, we're it's not I don't think it'd be paranoid to say that yeah, we could see a massive solar flare within our lifetimes that could be strong enough to take down the grid.
Well, and as you know, I've done some research on this, and one of the things I've discovered about EMPs is, from everything I can find, are you six? Okay. Everything I can find is really to be impacted, the hunk of metal, the circuit, needs to be a little bit larger than your digital wristwatch. It needs to be something that's, you know, it hits the power grid, because it has all these long lines that can absorb those electromagnetic radiation and power up and destroy the system, which is not something that happens in a wristwatch, because the wavelength is too small. I don't want to get too much into the physics, but your pocket calculator, wait, doesn't even exist. Your cell phone probably works fine, but the cell nets is down more.
Yeah, and excuse me, sorry about that. No, I've been thinking about that too myself, because I think that's an important part. People are really paranoid about these, at least this, you know, well, any sort of EMP blast and what it can do. And yeah, I don't know if, you know, you're right. You've got these long power lines that just collect it and almost like focus it and deliver it.
They really do.
But yeah, I mean, they collect it over, you know, dozens or hundreds of miles and deliver it. And
I do have one joke that kind of illustrates this. It's not exactly on point, but what's the difference between solar energy and nuclear energy? The distance. Oh. The distance. Oh, come on. I have a solar fetish. It makes me so hot.
Don't!
Oh. So this is a actual risk, and it is a risk. I'm sitting here laughing about an existential risk to civilization because there's a little squeaky toy. This also impacts our climate, but that's a much longer scale and something that's probably worth its own podcast, maybe in January or February. But what are the thoughts you have on this one, Mark?
Well, the scary thing about this is it's largely unpredictable. You're not going to know it until, you know, maybe a half hour or a few hours before destruction's imminent type of thing. It is connected with the size of the, or appears to be connected to the size of sunspots. So, I mean, if you start seeing a lot, large collections of sunspots or sunspots themselves that were very, very large, you know, that would be indicative of it. But I'm trying to think back to the Carentan event, what I've read about that, and I'm not sure that was preceded by any extraordinarily large sunspots that I remember.
No, and we do have a comment from a listener, Jim Wetzel. High-speed ultra-miniaturized electronics, big enough coronal mass ejection, CME, digital comedy ensues. That's a great line. And he also said, yeah, he calls it up with... Science! he follows up with, oh no, can't order online, which is great. And he says, again, electrical power distribution is much more robust with respect to solar activity. EMP, different story. And there you go with the squeaky toy.
Well, you know, and what's sort of interesting is that, you know, there's some evidence that the sun may actually produce even more massive flares on occasion, because when on the moon missions, they some of the material they brought back had an almost glazing type surface on it. Mm-hmm. That apparently, as best they can determine, must have come either from a solar flare that was so powerful that it actually was able to melt material on the surface of the moon, or somehow, you know, some extra solar gamma ray burst or whatever hit the moon, but not the Earth, which is unlikely. So. You know, so there's actually a lot more, I think a lot more there out there. There are some theories out there that, that the, end of the, or the beginning of the little, not little ice age, but anyway, the younger Darius, was caused by an impactor of some sort or several. And, you know, most people think of like asteroid or
comet,
a meteor or some comet or something, but there are some people that have theorized that it may have actually been like a massive, supermassive coronal mass ejection.
Yeah. I think they found some cratering off the coast of off the east coast, off of the Carolinas, which they think were remnants of that, you know, comet or asteroid, which, you know, impacted over the ice sheet. So.
Yeah, and they found a crater that they think might match into it that in Greenland. And then just recently there was indications from South America in Chile of fused sand that dated back to approximately the same time.
Really, are you sure that wasn't some of the Mrs. Cooking?
The what?
I can't cheat. Oh.
Go! Sorry, I didn't really know what that was when I clicked on it. It was not what I thought it was. But it worked okay.
And I've got to brag on her. You made what was the Norwegian bread you made?
What's it called? Julekake? It's like a Christmas bread.
So it's kind of a Christmas bread, but it's not horribly sweet, but it also contains some fruits and whatnot. It's quite tasty.
Yeah, it's been fairly popular.
Yes, indeed. So are we out? Are we done?
Are we? Are we done? Are we done?
Mark, what do you think?
Well, I mean, that's all I, you know, I mean, without going down another rabbit hole into flares and stuff. Yeah, I think that probably covers that article, and I think the main implications that can be taken from it.
Okay. Well, on that note, join us once again next week when we will endeavor to delve back into things we delve. But as always, I am your humble host, John Wilder.
Is that all you're going to say?
Oh. Yeah, this is Mark.
And I'm the Mrs. And I guess we'll see you next week. Y'all come back now, you hear?
All right, are we still on or are we off?
We should be off.
Okay. So here's what I was thinking for next week. If you guys have it. So I was thinking that we each picked our own Christmas movie. And we talked about our own individual real Christmas that was the most like that. So for instance, mine would be A Christmas Story and Ralphie. I'm talking about getting my BB gun when I was a kid. And, you know, you, the missus, could talk about when you were eight and your nose glowed right red and no one would talk to you.
That's right. But Santa.
How does that sound? And Mark, you could talk about how you killed two bandits who tried to break into your house when your parents abandoned you. It's not so funny when you talk about it like that, is it?
Social services intervenes.
That was a good one.
Oh, I'll have to think about it. My Christmases were sort of boring. You know, I accidentally discovered the truth about Santa Claus when I was four.
Mm-hmm.
And so my dad was like, well, you know, from that point on, he's like, well, we're just going to open our gifts on Christmas Eve. And, you know, there was very little magic after that.
Yeah, I announced at the dinner table when I was five that there was no Santa Claus. And my brother kicked me in the shins as hard as he could. And he was in eighth grade, you know, and I was in kindergarten. So that was pretty hard. And he's like, shut up. We get more presents if you believe in Santa.
Yeah, my kids had done something like that where they were like, oh, we know there's no Santa Claus. And we're like, oh, really? If you don't believe in him, he doesn't bring anything.
So do we want to talk about our more cherished Christmas experiences next week? Have something light and happy?
Sure. Since it'll be, the 23rd?
The Wednesday before Christmas.
Well, yeah, I know. It's the 22nd. Okay.
Yes.
You forget that, you know, since my... I'm on vacation until about the third week of January now. Mm-hmm. So really, time and dates have no meaning to me whatsoever.
It's the day before penultimate day.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, no. That'd be the day before Christmas Eve. So, sorry.
Yeah.
The day before Christmas Eve.
You're a little early on that.
Yeah. And then the following week is penultimate day. Mm-hmm. Penultimate day is our family holiday. Oh. And what it is, it's not the last day of the year, but the day before the last day of the year, wherein we drive 100 miles from our house, look at cell phones, don't buy a cell phone because that's one prohibited activity on penultimate day, and then eat at
Olive Garden or any suitable Italian restaurant.
Yes, Italian restaurant.
With unlimited stick.
Yes. So that's our penultimate day. Very Crin says, no, we're still live.
Oh, so all of that's just gone out. Well, I don't know how to stop it because I